Triple M Footy lives on Listener. Thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. So many great moments.
Oh, here we go.
So many thrills.
Oh, hang on.
So many spills.
And we're underway.
Triple M is proud to present.
Unbelievable.
MG's Rugby League Rundown.
Oh, it's only round six, MG, but this season feels like it's been going an absolute lifetime. The stories, the intrigue, Latrell Mitchell. How are you, sir?
Yeah, fantastic. Another week of intrigue, as you say, round five, and we've already got around 28 players of first grade stature on the sidelines because of injuries. We'll go through them later when we do our tips, but there's been another hectic week of rugby league, hasn't there?
The biggest story in the land right now is South Sydney. Now, if you track back all the way to the season kickoff in Las Vegas, this is a team that was one of those inaugural four teams that went over this for this fantastic Vegas adventure. Got handed a loss by Manly, but the way they played was pretty impressive. It was dynamic. It was high-paced. There was a lot to be excited about despite that loss, and yet here we are approaching round six being told that Jason Demetriou's got 80 minutes to coach for his career against the Sharks this weekend, and Latrell Mitchell might have fallen out in love with the game. Where do you stand at the moment? Let's start with Latrell, because that is the biggest story right now. What is your stance, given Latrell's been handed a three-week suspension for the elbow on Sean Johnson? Where do you think he's at?
Well, I tend to agree with the sentiment of my ex-coach, Phil Gould, who on 100% Footy on Channel 9, we'll play it in a second, but I tend to agree with what his kind of line of questioning of Latrell's, I don't know, is he all in? Well, apparently he said he's all in with Michael Chambers reporting this morning, but Gus said this, and we'll play it right now, Tone, because we'll have a chat after what Gus said, because I tend to agree with what Gus said, and I think that everyone in rugby league is probably thinking the same thing Gus is.
Has anyone ever sat Latrell down and said, do you really want to play this game? Are you really in love with this game? Do you love the hard work? Do you love the discipline? Do you love your teammates? Do you love your club? Do you love the game? Or is it just, I'll do it because I'm good at it, but I'll do it my own way? I mean, if someone actually sat him down and said, if you had a chance to walk away, would you go?
You reckon he would?
I don't know. I
reckon
he would. He does, you reckon?
I reckon he would.
You reckon he'd leave the game?
Just this week alone.
I reckon he will. I don't see that he's in love with it at all.
So you agree with the sentiments of Gus there? You think a similar thing that Latrell's not in love with the game of rugby league?
Some of the stuff he's been doing on the footy field is just not what your number one player does. The elbow to Sean Johnson, the arms through the legs on Tohu Harris. It's like he's kind of motioning for a bit of time off from the game, because obviously you don't do that type of stuff when you're 100% in. You're a leader of your club. Your club's in turmoil. The last thing you want to do is spend 3 weeks on the sideline when your club's basically told their coach that he's got 80 minutes to save his job. It reeks to me of, I think he loves the game, but I think he also doesn't like what comes with it, if that makes sense. I think he's happy to play the game of rugby league, but I don't think he's happy being the superstar that he has become in our game. And I think that's quite sad, because he should be embracing himself. He should be screaming from the top of the mountains that I'm number one in this game. But at the moment, it's kind of like, you know, I'm betwixt and between. I love playing with my mates. I love playing for South Sydney. But at the moment, I also wouldn't mind being back on the farm for 3 or 4 weeks as well.
I don't think this should be a surprise to anybody, because I don't think, name me a time, we're talking about Latrell Mitchell, who, to some extent, I think, you and I talked about this years ago. I remember when he was making the switch to fullback, when he switched to the Bunnies, and there was this conversation around him wanting to play fullback, and it just seemed like a completely unwarranted wave of criticism that went this young man's way.
Yep.
He has never loved the limelight. He has never loved the spotlight. He has never seemed to relish and take on that statesman role within the game. I don't think he's ever liked that, and I think he'd probably tell you that. And I wonder, does he have to... You mentioned playing with his mates, and I think Jack Whiten is, you know, he does love playing with his mates.
Cody
and
Walker,
I think he enjoys it. I think there's a confusion as to whether he needs to outwardly love the game and be a Daly Cherry Evans type, or be a Nathan Cleary type who is, you know, front forward and facing and says all the right things and does all the right things, as opposed to just being Latrell Mitchell. Now, I wonder whether, and this goes kind of leads us into the Jason Demetriou conversation, clearly the system set up around him at South Sydney isn't the right structure to be getting the best out of Latrell Mitchell.
No.
Well, you think about when he was at the Roosters.
He was in the centre. He was one of seven top line players when he was at the Roosters. He was kind of out of sight, out of mind, but in mind, because every time he touched the ball in that left centre position, it'd create mayhem. What's happening now is you've got to be the fittest player on the field to be fullback. You've got to be the fittest player on the field to play fullback or hooker. And there's no way Latrell's the fittest player on the field. And sometimes I think he knows that. Sometimes I think he knows that he is not. So he's kind of looking for a little bit of a shortcut, i.e. that shortcut is a penalty. And I think if you watch these incidents on the weekend with Latrell, as soon as he did them, he realised he stuffed up. He realised that, oh, man, because he went straight down and helped Sean Johnson up. He went straight down and picked up Tohu Harris after he had his legs arm between his legs. So that's not a bloke who's sinister to me. That's a bloke who's thinking too much about the process. I think his days at fullback are done. I really do. Everyone, you know, keeps saying that he should be the fullback because he's the best player at the club. Well, for him to be the best player for South Sydney, it's in the centres. And that's where he's going to be the most destructive. That's where he's going to be able to get into the game a lot more. That's where he started of origin in the centres with Tommy Turbo. That's the spot he's got to be. I think there's a young kid coming through this weekend. Is it Gray? Young Gray making his first grade debut?
Yes.
Well, this could force South Sydney's hand because there's a lot of drums beating, and you might be able to tell us more from being up there, that Wayne Bennett is basically $1.04 to be coaching the Rabbitohs next season, with Sam Burgess coming back the following season to see his entry. It's basically a fait accompli that we're hearing. Jason Demetriou, I think, is gone no matter what happens this weekend. I just think that the way this has all been handled, it's untenable. I feel sorry for the guy. In the last 3 or 4 years we've been working together, how much we hate seeing coaches sacked mid-season. But when you've got your team coming last by a long way, they're last by a long way. Even the teams that are just above them on the premiership table, the Titans and the Dragons, they're at least trying. They're at least having a go. But some of the basic mistakes from the South Sydney team on the weekend against the Warriors, my goodness. That's not Jason Demetriou's fault, but unfortunately he's the man who goes.
Yeah. Jason Demetriou isn't teaching these players how to throw a pass.
Or drop a ball in a play of the ball. Or catch a ball.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that stuff that by the time you get to first grade, there's an expectation that you know how to do that sort of stuff. So yeah. I agree with you, MG. And yeah, we are pro coach. We do not like seeing coaches being sacked. I hate this notion that he has 80 minutes to coach for his career, because even if they win against the Sharks, then I think they've got the Storm and the Panthers, right? So foreseeably, that might be the hardest three stretch of games that any team has coming up. And what you're saying, if he survives the Sharks but then lose to the Storm and the Panthers, he might be gone. It's just unreasonable to judge a coach on being able to...
I think his papers were basically sent when he made the decision. When all that kerfuffle went with Sam Burgess last year, that was when I think that basically started out to be Jason Demetriou's, you know, walking the plank. I think he had to start this season with a bang. They haven't. The reason in after five rounds they sit where they sit, I think they've lost 20 games, or won five games in the last 20. They're just not playing like a team who's in harmony with each other, and something's got to give.
And we see Damien Cook drop from the side this weekend.
Like, what's Duncan, the young firebrand who's been dropped. I mean, to get back to what Gus Gould said at the start of this chat, I think a lot of people are thinking that. Michael Chalmers has reported this morning that Latrell's come out and told the club and his teammates that he's all in. So I guess we just have to wait and see. You know, he's got 3 weeks to cool his heels. In fact, he'll come back to probably a completely different South Sydney looking team than when he left. So I hope young Jai Gray has a fantastic game against the Sharkies, because that could solve a lot of problems at Redfern.
Again, by the way, I don't know if he has said that or if that's being reported through sources. What is a player telling you heading into round six, I'm all in, mate? Like, of course, yeah, we would expect that you are all in.
Well, I think the speculation is that he's doing this type of these little suspensions that aren't long suspensions, because he pines for getting back to his farm. We know how much he loves it, where at the Taree or somewhere where it is, where we know he loves getting back there.
Well, that's the hypothetical that got put out during the week by, I think it was Braith and Nasser on NRL 360. Would you allow him to go if you were a teammate of Latrell Mitchell?
No. Not after five rounds. No, I want him around the club. I want him patting the back of young Jai Gray every time he does something at training. I want Latrell ensconced in my drills. I want him training with me. I'm not sending him back for a 3-week holiday. No way.
Can I just to put a bow on this, MG, the Latrell chat and the South chat? I came up with the top five noisiest players in recent memory, whether on field, off field, just in general. I think Latrell is a walk-up start for good, bad or otherwise.
Yep.
He just makes noise, right? And I'm not blaming any of these players. I've just got a quick list for you. Latrell Mitchell, Mitchell Pearce, Todd Carney, Josh Dugan, Jared Hayne. Top five noisiest players in recent memory. No matter what they did, good, bad or otherwise, on field, off field, headlines.
I think young Jackson Hastings is quickly trying to get in that top five as well. For good, bad and ugly. But look, I know all them kids that you speak of in that top five, and I've spoken to them. I ran into Fergo at my Young Blokes debut at the Roosters, and just we had a big cuddle and a hug, and Dugs, I've seen him out and about. Junior Pearce, Todd Carney, we've had him on the show. Yeah. We've done the rush hour. Like,
both of them involved with Triple M footy, Triple M NRL.
I agree. Now. Yeah, I suppose you make a very good list there, and it's a list that I wouldn't want to be on, put that way.
In my day,
I would have been number one.
In your day, I think we could call it the MG list. Yeah, we could actually name that list in memory of you, sir. Let's move on to another team that high hopes, and yet suddenly. You talk about the pressure Jason Demetriou is feeling at the moment, and I think Brad Arthur is probably feeling a similar spotlight. It naturally comes with being the coach of Parramatta, but they're 2-3 to start the year, and it seems like without Mitchell Moses, he's still going to be out for another 6 weeks. This team is just going to be fighting to get through that period.
Yeah, and again, he's made some decisions a bit like Demetriou that are kind of a head-scratcher. Sivo scored the only two tries against the Raiders and was probably the only shining light. But he's been dropped. Young Talagi's been dropped, the rookie. Dejan Arce comes back in after a couple of good performances in New South Wales Cup. But let's face it. Look, there's a stat doing the rounds that any team after five rounds who's below 13th on the ladder can't win the comp. That means that the Eels, the Dragons, the Titans and the Rabbitohs fit that little pouch. They can't win the comp. And with Mitchell Moses still out for another 10 or 12 weeks, it doesn't look good for the Parramatta Eels. They just can't score tries at the moment. I think they've got to try something radical. I think they've got to try and get Clint Gutherson closer to the action. I think he's got to be 5'8". I really do. I think that Dylan Brown at number 7 and just give the ball to, you know, as a big-bodied 5'8". I think all the attack at the moment without Moses has come from Gutho. I think we've got to get him closer to the. You know, you could put young Dejan Arce at fullback. You could bring Talagi back in the team at fullback. You can put Bailey Simonson at fullback, but you need a playmaker. You need someone who's going to create something around that halves, because they've got the four pack to match anyone. Parramatta, let's face it, their four pack's fantastic. But when you kind of know you're a forward and you know that what you're doing isn't being cemented with a little cherry on top by your backline, it makes you lose confidence a bit. And that's what's happening to Parramatta in the last couple of weeks without Moses. They seem to be in the game for 10 or 12 minutes, and then the penny drops that, you know what, our main man's gone, and we won't be able. So I think without, you know, obviously a lot of people go, well, you know, then you're going to strengthen one position to weaken another. Well, they've got to. They've got to. They haven't scored many points in the last couple of weeks, and without Moses for another couple of months, you've got to think outside the square a bit, and I think outside the square is definitely Gutho at number 6.
Because they were, I mean, you know, not to take anything away from Ricky Stewart and this Raiders team and what they're doing at the moment, but the Parramatta Eels were absolutely nowhere in that game. I mean, aside from South's performance against the Warriors, it was probably the most lopsided game of the weekend. And look, not to, we've just spoken and sort of defended Jason Demetriou to an extent as far as we don't like putting the pressure on coaches, but we did talk about the speculation was there at the beginning of the season that Wayne Bennett, the wispy, shadowy figure that is Wayne Bennett, was looming over the rest of the coaching group. And a role as a coaching director was mentioned as a possibility for Parramatta. Now, I guess, if the South's murmurs prove to play out, My concern for Parramatta is if you start looking in the coaching box, it's like, what else is there? What, you know, it's I don't mind it when clubs replace a coach if they have a plan in place.
Arthur's the man for the job at Parramatta. It's simple as that. He's just got to be more tactical with his decisions in who he's having in these teams. It's just, he's got to actually think outside the square. We've spoken to BA about BA, just signed an extension. He's their man for the next 3 or 4 years, but their window is really closing quickly on to win a competition. It's they played the Panthers a couple of years ago in the grand final. Look, they've got a couple of shining lights in Hopgood and there's young kids coming through. But they've got to start winning games, and it starts this weekend. Obviously, who have they got? They've got the Cowboys at home.
Yeah,
that's a statement they've got to make. I mean, they've got to make it. Combank Stadium's got to be their fortress. They've got to pull their head out of the sand. I think young Bryce Cartwright's back this week, which will be a big bonus. You know what? They might even put him 5'8". Why not? Something's different. He used to be a 5'8", in his juniors at St Mary's. So there's another option for Brad Arthur. But I don't think at the moment that Dylan Brown is the answer for the playmaker. He's more – maybe Dylan Brown at fullback. Maybe put Dylan Brown at fullback and play that running role. I don't know.
You've thrown that idea out before. You like that idea. And here's a left field for you. Do Parramatta need to get super proactive and find a way to get this Zach Lomax deal done?
I think so.
So that,
yep.
Even try and get it done within 2 weeks, yep. So that you can get Zach at the club.
St George have said they won't let him go this year.
Until the right deal comes.
Yeah. Well, maybe if if they offer one of these young guns up and say, "Well, we can do an immediate swap," because you're right. That's a very good point. Lomax is the answer.
Get Lomax into your club, all of a sudden, then you can play around with Gutho, knowing that you've got that big body there at fullback.
Yep.
And to that point about those young guns, right? I totally get, like, you want to protect the talent you're developing. Everybody wants to be Penrith. Everybody wants to create a model where you can just inject the next generation of talent. But you've also, as you talk about, these guys are in a premiership window with the players in the key positions to win a comp.
Yep.
You got to make the most of your window.
Well, we said at the start of the season that Parramatta, on the retention, who they bought off-season wasn't, you know, Morgan Harper was only off-season buy.
Yeah.
I think there are one or two forwards short of winning a comp. I think they're obviously one or two backline players short of winning a comp, and they weren't proactive in the market at all. And now that we've seen Mitchell Moses go down, obviously you can't plan for that. That's just a shocking, you know, way to start your season after 4 rounds. But you're right. You make a very good point. I think Lomax deal has now accelerated the want for a player to, you know, if they've got any chance of keeping their season alive, they've got to start doing something, and they've got to do it this weekend. Because they're a major team in our comp. Let's face it. Parramatta are a juggernaut. They're in the Western Sydney with Penrith. They've got a lot of fans who support them. At the moment, they're just not giving the fans what they need, and that's victories. This weekend, it could all... what is it, Saturday evening?
Yeah.
The stage is set, Eels. It's the ball's in your court.
I know opposition fans will hate hearing it, but when a strong Parramatta is good for the NRL.
Of course
it
is.
For the competition.
Of course it is.
Before we get on to some refereeing stuff from last weekend, and I know we don't, as much as we don't like to bag out coaches, we also don't like to pick apart refereeing decisions, but there are some we should talk about. Can we just go back to the Melbourne Storm Brisbane Broncos game? Because this might have been, I mean, I was watching you tweet in response to this game. For everything that was going on and for all the players that weren't out there, Adam Reynolds going off at halftime and Reece Walsh not being there, this was one of the great games of rugby league.
One of the greatest. Yeah, it was fantastic. 11 tries scored, 34 points to 32. There was the debut of the big Ben Dakura, seven foot of him. There was other things that I loved about Jerome Hughes and Ezra Mam's battle. The forwards battle. It was just one of them games that had you captivated from the way. Usually when you see a game that's had 11 tries scored, you go, oh, man, that's a pretty shit defensive game. But it wasn't. The hits were strong up until the last 5 or 6 minutes. Like, they kept going. Look, both these teams have shown that they'll be thereabouts come the end of September. They're both juggernauts of the competition. I think the fact that the Storm are playing without Nelson Asofa Solomona and winning games is such a big thing for them. Sean Blore was awesome for them, I thought. in his game against the Broncos, and I thought the Broncos, they tried their asses off. They had, you know, they got some injury dramas, but that didn't really deter them. Some of the tries they scored, and when Ezra Mann decides to get himself into a game, wow. Obviously, Walsh is sensational to watch, but Ezra Mann with that little, I don't think there's anyone quicker in the game over 10 metres than Ezra Mann. The way he just accelerates through a hole when there's no hole there is scary if you're a forward. I'll tell you that right now, or a centre. So, it was a fantastic game. What do you think of it?
I sat there, just couldn't take my eyes off about it. The non-Melbourne fan in me, just, I looked up the numbers before. It's been almost 2 years since the Storm have been able to field Pappenhausen, yep, Hughes, Munster and Harry Grant in a side.
Yep. Yep.
And when you watch them out there, and obviously we know we've been through the era with Smith and Cronk and Slater. We know what the big three, and with Inglis at the time in the beginning, and we know how, yep, the big three has changed, and all the talk of, oh, well, once Slater's gone, no more Storm, and once Cronk's gone and all the rest of that. And now you look at this quartet back out there, and it's just, it's a great thing to see, particularly Ryan Pappenhausen with what he's been through. But then on the other side of things, I thought once Reynolds went off at half time, and I thought, well, this is over.
Yeah.
But yep, then you saw this Broncos team is so much more than just Adam Reynolds at number seven. Sure, they lost a bit in the kicking game. And again, I was blown away by the performance of Tristan Saylor. I know Reece Walsh comes back into the side.
He's playing great.
Yes, you lose a bit of the dynamic that Reece Walsh brings you, but he's so safe. He's, yep, a really safe fullback.
I wonder if he could play seven. Could Tristan play seven? I think he could. I think he could play seven. And when Walsh comes back, I think Walsh is back this week against the Dolphins. Massive game Friday night.
They've named Jock Madden at seven this week, but Tristan is in the number seven team, yeah, coming off the bench. So we'll wait and see. But no, I just thought we shouldn't go past that game without at least paying it some acknowledgement.
Some homage.
Cam Munster strip on Dean Mariner.
Yep.
Late in the game.
Play on.
It should have been play on, surely.
Play on. Yeah, that was a play on. They got a few wrong this round, the referees, and as you said, we're loath to say anything. But let's get to the Penrith and the Manly one, okay? The game was poised. It was 8-6. Tommy Talau gets a ball from Dylan Edwards, an intercept. Knocks it on, blatant. Kohler picks it up, runs 100 metres and scores. I went, okay, well, that's going to come back, and the bunker's going to, if the referee didn't see it, well, the bunker's got to see it. But my goodness, what the effing hell is going on? When that could have been a grand final. We know that. That could have been a grand final. I'm not saying it because it's Penrith. Everyone at the ground knew it was a knock-on. And, you know, that's the class of Ivan Cleary, because in his post-match press conference, this is why Penrith are who Penrith are. Any other coach would have blown up deluxe. The turning point in the game, 6 points to eight down. That scores makes it 14-6 at halftime. The horse is basically bowled. This is 310th game. You know, all the writing was on the wall. But what did Ivan Cleary do? He said that, you know what, we threw four or five intercepts today. I want to congratulate Manly on being the better team, and I want to congratulate DC on such a milestone. Full stop. That's when the noise stopped. He controlled the narrative by being the bloke he is, because any other coach, and I swear to God when I say this, at least 14 out of the 17 coaches would have blown up deluxe. Ivan Cleary didn't, and I think the throng of the media were waiting for him to do that. So there's another 2 or 3 days of talking about that knock on. But he was quick to knock it in, nip in the butt. He said, "I'm not here to bag the referee. I'm not here to say that. Look, it was a knock on." That's not the reason we lost the game. And I thought that was so classy from him. And that gives you a little bit of an insight into why Penrith are who Penrith are.
And interesting to note, and Graham Annesley swears this has the incident has nothing to do with it, but Todd Smith, the ref at the time, isn't officiating a game this weekend.
Well, it's not Todd Smith. It's not Todd Smith's fault. It's the bunker. And I think it was Grant Atkins, who is usually freaking really good. But Ako got it wrong this time. Unfortunately, got it wrong.
Hey, the other one, just quickly, you talk about close games. Obviously, the Roosters almost pulled off an incredible comeback against the Dogs. Victor Radley sin bin for an incident that Graham Annesley has come out and said should have been put on report, but he shouldn't have been sent from the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, so look, yeah, the Roosters, you know, you could do, Trent Robinson could have done an Ivan Cleary and you know, put no attention on it. But if you're a Roosters fan, you sit there looking at it and going, we're a man down, running all the top, all the momentum on our side, and we run out of steam.
Well, again, I think Robbo should have got in that press conference and said, you know what? From the first 30 seconds when we challenged Dom Young's knock-on, which I don't, that started the downfall from them. That they scored off the next scrum, the Doggies. Blake Taff, off a little set move, scored in the corner. Why are you challenging after the first 30 seconds? I'll never know. I will never know, because if I'm a coach, I'm saying to my captain, I don't give a shit what's gone down. We defend our line in that first half. We keep our challenge up our sleeve until we really need it in the second half when we're buggered. When we're tired, when we can come, we gather the challenge, we use it how we want to use it. We want a break in play. We want to use it strategically. We'd never use the captain's challenge in the first half. And you know what? Never a winger or a front rower. Never ever a winger or a front rower. I swear to God. Because that was the start of the downhill. That was the start of the demise of them, because all of a sudden Dom Young was in a fluster. He'd missed kick out three or four times on that blind side. He then put the hit on Blake Taff in the that knocked him out. And that was a send-off, by the way. Every day of the week, absolutely, that's a send-off. And you know what? Yeah, was a Victor Radley's a sin bin? No, it wasn't. But we're kind of jumping at shadows at the moment with a hip drop. We don't like seeing it. We've also got to identify when there isn't one. And that was not a hip drop that Radley did. And I think we know, as we spoke on this podcast last week, we know when we see a pretty ordinary tackle in a game of rugby league. And that wasn't one of them.
No. Just quickly as well, well done to Dom Young on locking himself into Mr. September next time the NRL decides to do a calendar.
I'll tell you what, give someone else the bench press, brother. Like, just give someone else a go at the bench flies and the incline press and the, you know, come on, man, you're hogging the bench press, brother.
He and Ryan Madison can never be at the same club.
No. Come on, bro. You've been on there for 2 hours.
They would get nothing, absolutely nothing done. Righto, MG, let's get into talking about some footy. We've got round 6 on the way, and there's a lot to like. I mean, there's just every weekend's throwing up some really tantalising games. Let's kick it off with the Newcastle Knights hosting the Sydney Roosters, a nasty. I reckon they'll come out nasty in this game, the Sydney Roosters. No changes to the side for the Knights. They're sticking. It's nice to see they're sticking with Cogger and Hastings in the halves. But Tedesco and Sam Walker both go out with concussion protocol. So you're going to see Manu switch to fullback. Connor Watson will start at 5'8", and Keary goes into the 7.
Yeah, look, I like the Knights in this. I thought the Knights were fantastic in the rain, in the torrential rain against the Dragons. The Roosters at the moment, you know, they just seem to be, I don't know, they don't seem to have their positional changes or positional plays down pat yet. They just want to keep experimenting a little bit. And obviously injuries hurt that as well. But I thought, I thought that against the Bulldogs, they dug their own hole, as I just spoke about with Dom Young. In the other game, I thought that the Knights were fantastic. And I thought that Ponga, who now leads the Dally Ams on 17 points, the nearest to him is 12. Look out, here he comes again. I thought Lomax was fantastic in a beaten team. And I thought, as you mentioned, Cogger and Hastings were fantastic as well. So for this, I'm going, I don't know what the bookies are, the odds are, but I think Knights might be a little bit of an upset. I'm going the Knights at home.
You're going the Knights to beat the Roosters to kick off round 6. I can tell you, MG, they are $1.50 favourites at time of recording. So
the Knights?
They are the favourites. Yeah, Knights are favourites.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's no upset then. I'm going for Knights, yeah.
Righto, Friday night, Amy Park, the Storm hosting the Bulldogs, who will have a bit of a skip in their step after the win over the Roosters. Blake Taff obviously out with concussion, so Stephen Crichton's going to move to fullback. Jacob Krause will go to centre. Josh the Fox Adokar comes back into the side on a wing. Jamin Salmon is going to move to the 13. Kurt Mann's out with a hand injury, but it's all happy days for the Melbourne Storm. I think Asafa Solomona has been named as part of the extended squad, so maybe he's got those skin folds down, but it looks like they go in unchanged.
Yeah, the big four for mine, as you mentioned early, I can't basically go against the Melbourne Storm when them four are playing, except when they play probably Penrith and Broncos. I when them four are operating and Munster's at 80%. He's going to be better each week. Pappenhausen's timing is starting to, you know, be electric as well. Kurt Mann's a big out. I thought he was one of their best players, along with Burton and Kickow, against the Roosters. So I'm leaning towards the Storm at home in this one.
All right, and then we go to the Battle of Brisbane. It is the ladder leading Dolphins taking on Big Brother, who sit 11th, 10 spots beneath
first
them.
First versus 11th, can you believe it?
Well, you could believe it if it was the Broncos first and the Dolphins 11th, yeah. But it is not that way around. And the Broncos come into this one sort of undermanned. They lose Adam Reynolds, obviously, and Madden has been named at 7 for them. But Dean Mariner's also out, and Dean Mariner has been electric.
Yes,
on a wing.
He has been.
Corey Oates comes in to replace him. So they get some experience there. Tristan Saylor is going to move back to the bench because Reece Walsh is back into the side, and Xavier Willison's also coming in with Big Ben Takura in getting a taste of first grade. And then he's going back to the Reggies this weekend. But then on the other side, Tom Flegler has been named despite the shoulder injury he suffered. But they lose Herbie Farnworth and Felice Kaufusi. So yeah, a bit of quality going out for the Finns.
Massive out. I thought against the Tigers, Katoa and Marshall King were their two best. He's just getting better and better, young Isaiah Katoa. He's just looking really, really good. He could be a thorn in the side of the Broncos, but I think with Herbie and Kaufusi out, Kaufusi's their main man in defence. He's the Minister of Defence as far as the Finns go. I don't see anything but a Broncos victory in this one.
Just quickly, can we talk a bit of Katoa for a sec? Because we spoke to him on Triple M's Rush Hour, Brisbane, Gold Coast, when he signed the new deal. And, MG, I've never been so impressed with a 20-year-old. How is he? He's 20 or is he still 19? This
Great kid.
The way he spoke about the responsibility that came with his contract was incredible. Like, talking about what it meant. And a lot of players at that age who sign these big deals talk about what it means for their families. But the seriousness that he talked about it with the sacrifice that his families have put in and with what it means for the club to show the faith in them, that I was blown away by obviously what he's doing on field, but the maturity. And he talked about the confidence that the Bromwich boys, Jesse and Kenny and Felice and these guys have given him to be in charge out there. He is a super impressive young man.
Wayne Bennett. For a kid his age and a kid who's come up from Penrith, you know, everyone was saying, oh, why are you going up there? You're in the nursery here at Penrith. And, well, he's made the right decision because, you know, obviously he would have been behind two of the best halves in the competition in Cleary and Luai. And he wouldn't have got his opportunity. He's gone for his opportunity and he's making every post a winner, as they say. I think he's a real quality kid. And I love watching him play footy because, as I said, he's getting better with every game.
Yeah, he thumps the ball too when he kicks it at the
good
moment.
Good kicker.
Warriors, Manly. This game's over the Dutch. And the Warriors coming off a comfortable win against South. Manly doing what they did against Penrith. Ben Trbojevic is going to move into the centres to replace Ruben Garrick, who goes out with concussion. And then for the Warriors, they get Dallin Watini, Zalesniak and Kurt Capewell back into the side, which is big news for them, which means a little bit of a shift with Roger Tuivasa-Sheck moving into the centres.
This is the game of the round for mine. I think both were the most dominant performers in round five. I thought Manly over Penrith were great. And I thought the Warriors, even though they're playing against a team that's low in confidence against the Rabbitohs, I gave the Rabbitohs a big chance to knock the Warriors over, but it was pretty evident after 10 minutes that the Warriors had come to play. And Andrew Webster's the real deal as a coach. He's fantastic. Sean Johnson was everywhere. Klokstad was fantastic. Just when you think, you know, why isn't Roger playing fullback? Well, watch Charles Nickel Klokstad play. The kid is everywhere. He's exactly what RTS was 3 or 4 years ago before he went to Union. And I think that's their way to go. I think that young Andrew Webster, the coach, he's basically said that he wants to play in the centres, Roger. We've got a fullback who's fantastic. So, saying that, I think Manly were fantastic, but I think the Warriors over there, this is the sixth place versus seventh place on the ladder, so it's going to be a fantastic struggle. That maybe the winner goes into the top four. A lot at stake early on in the season, but I think the Warriors for the W.
And then you talk about the Warriors and just going about their business. The Cowboys just quietly sidling up to second place on the ladder and not a lot of changes, although really disappointing for Zach Laybutt, who's suffered a season-ending ACL, which is
poor bugger.
Is gutting because we never like to see those injuries. So Tom Chester comes into the centres. That's the only change they make. And you spoke a little bit about the axe that Brad Arthur has swung for Manly. Obviously, Mike Acevo, Blaze Talagi and Greg all going out of the side. Morgan Harper comes back in, but Dejan Arce is going to wear the number six alongside Dylan Brown.
Yeah, look, it's very hard to tip Parramatta. It really is. I know they're going to be desperate. We spoke earlier in the pod about Combank Stadium and all that type of stuff, but at the moment, Cowboys, for mine, are one of the form teams of the competition. What they're doing on the weekend, Drinkwater was fantastic. He just continues the. The rich vein of fullbacks we have in our competition is mind blowing at the moment. Robson at dummy half was fantastic. I thought in that game they played the Cowboys against the Titans. Titans tried harder than they have been. I thought young Campbell in particular was good in that game. Tuilagi was good for the Cowboys, but I think in this game, Liam, I know that Tony Soprano, who is producing this podcast, won't be happy when I say this. I think Cowboys might beat the Eagles. Sorry, Tony.
Hard to tip against the Cows in the form they're in and who they're playing. Saturday night, it's been billed as the Jason Demetrio loser leaves town, but Rabbitohs hosting the Sharkies, Acor Stadium, and the outs are the big story here. Obviously, Latrell Mitchell out with a 3-match suspension. Damien Cook has been dropped, which means Peter Mamazello is going to play in the number 9, and we see the debut at fullback of young Jai Gray, who MG... I don't know how much you know about him, but he is of Liam Flanagan-type stature. He's about my size, dead set, although I reckon I got him by about 2 centimetres. He's listed at 170 centimetres weighing in at 77 kilos. So,
bit of like the old Rod Mabon back in the day for the Dragons. Rod Mabon. So, look, I think...
Not a lot of him.
I've seen a couple of his... highlights from New South Wales Cup for the Rabbitohs, and he's been starring. This is another step up against the team who's coming off the bye in the Sharkies, who sit nice and snug in fourth position, just doing the right things at the moment, the Sharkies. Look, very, very hard to tip anything but a Sharks victory. You know, they're fresh. They're coming back from they didn't have to play in that mud last weekend. You've got to take that into account when you're putting your tips on this week as well. That mud takes a long time, you know, the heavy duty of the rain and stuff takes a long time to overcome, maybe to a day longer than would have first thought. Mm. But yeah, look, I think I can't see anything better, unfortunately. Can't see anything better than the Sharkies' victory, and that might mean that we see the last of Jason Demetrio as a South Sydney first grade coach, unfortunately.
We don't want to see it. Righto, Sunday afternoon, Campbelltown Sports Stadium. What a thrill for... the locals out there to get to see some first grade football. The West Tigers travel to their 17th home ground to take on the Dragons. It's the merger club derby. West Tigers, no John Bateman, concussion. They also lose Samuel Fainu, who's got a concussion, and Latu Fainu, who's out with a hamstring injury. So they bring in Alex Seyfarth, who goes into the starting side. Matamua and Kapoa all join the team. And Jake Simpkin comes in for his first game of the season alongside the other the Dragons changes. They get Hame Sele back into the side. Molo drops out as DeBellin shifts to the bench. And Tom Eisenhuth has been named to start at lock.
This is probably, for mine, the hardest game of the round to pick because you've got two teams both coming off a loss. They're both gallant in their losses, the Dragons against the Knights and the Tigers against the Dolphins. The Dragons sitting in 15th, Tigers sitting in 9th, which is their favourite position. Look, Bateman's a big out, but I think on the back of the home game, the home ground advantage, I think I can't go against the Tigers in this one. I love the way they're playing this year. I think that they're playing a great brand of footy under Benji Marshall. They've got an entourage of young up and coming players who are just must watch. And the Dragons are playing a great brand of footy under Flanagan as well. It's the clash of the brand new coaches. You know, obviously Flanagan's been around before, but both clubs are significantly better under the new regime of both their coaches. So this is a must watch. What's this on Sunday, Arvo? Yeah, I might snuggle up after the UFC on this and do a big UFC on Sunday, UFC 300.
What's the headline? What's the headline fight there?
Pereira and Hill. But there's 12 fights on, even the undercard. There's some fighters who can't even get on the undercard. They're on the free pass that you've got to sign up to watch. It's an unbelievable card. If you love UFC, it starts at 10 o'clock on Sunday and it goes through to about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So snuggle in and make sure your esky's full because it's going to be...
the UFC's got Penrith-like depth at the moment. They just got Doesn't matter who rolls out, they just roll a new one in.
Tigers.
Yeah, right. Don't know how we ended up there. Last game of the round, and Gold Coast Titans haven't made any changes, which is something of a... Well, they've made one change. Isaac Liu comes back into the side after concussion. But they best game of the performance of the year so far, and they still lost. And then the Canberra Raiders, who are just doing what they do. But this weekend, two big outs. They lose Jordan Rapana with a knee and Corey Horsburgh, which is devastating because the bloke who sort of cracked his way into the Queensland team last year just hasn't had a great start to the year injury-wise. But, MG, through... adversity comes opportunity, and we get to see the debut of a brilliantly named young man, Chevy Stewart. How good to have a Chevy in the NRL.
Chevy Stewart, he's a Kurnell Junior. I know that when I was down there doing a couple of speaking gigs last year, they are talking in raptures about young Chevy. I've watched him play. He's played against my young bloke a couple of times. He's a fantastic fullback. He's a bit like young... the young guy from South, who Jai Gray. He's very similar to Jai Gray. So, look, keep an eye on him. I don't see anything, but the scary thing about... Look, Raiders are that team that I think are going to be there come semi-final time, and I think in a big way, because they've been winning at home, and it's been hot weather. They haven't played anyone yet in their backyard, which is the freezing cold. You know, you go to Canberra, and you've got to wear gloves to warm up, and you've got to wear a beanie to the ground. They haven't played anyone yet. They're there yet in their own territory, so under their own conditions. So I reckon the Raiders are going really well at the moment. They're sitting in the fifth position on for and against, and looking really good along with the Warriors and Manly as well. So I'm tipping a Raiders victory and a comprehensive one at that.
Yeah, it's a brave tip against the Titans at the moment. Just quickly, as we finish up, Chevy, what do you reckon in the nickname they're rolling with? Were there any of his players,
Chase.
Did any of his teammates actually know who Chevy Chase is?
Oh, you're just calling him Chasey. JC.
Chase or Fletch. Chase.
Fletch. That was my nickname at Perth, Fletch.
Your nickname at Perth was Fletch?
Yeah, because I was like a chameleon, they reckon. I had so many different personalities.
From the movie. That's what they nicknamed you, Fletch.
Yep, Fletch.
We don't have time today, but all I want to do now is unpack these personalities.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think I had, but they reckon I had different personalities. I had the training MG, I had the game MG, the nightclub MG, so there was all these different nicknames. Like my nickname over there, I think Scotty Wilson, when he came over to play with us, he called me Fletch. He goes, you were so much like Fletch, Chevy chasing Fletch, that I can't believe it.
All right, we need somebody out there. Digital Tony, we need you to get to work and redo the movie poster with MG's head replacing Chevy Chase on the Fletch movie poster, if you could. Righto, there it is. Round 6, MG Rugby League Rundown. Big weekend of footy on the way. MG, get out there and enjoy it.
You too, brother.
Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.